Good morning, friends. Welcome back. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
So today we're going to be talking about the verse 16 from the Gita. And as I said last time, this is one of the weighty, philosophically weighty verses in the Gita. And I'll tell you why. I'll read it out to you and then we can talk about it. Verse 16 says, "The unreal has no existence. The real never ceases to be. The truth about both these indeed has been seen by the seers of truth." So, I mean, if you look at it like that, it really makes no sense, right? Mm-hmm. But when you analyze it, it has such deep meaning that it's incredible. The British, I think I told you this, Lou, once before, the British, when they came to India,
yes,
and their rule was to, their motive was to try and get these heathens who knew nothing about religion to convert them to some religion that could teach them a little bit more. When they read these things in the Gita and the Upanishads that were written like this, they said this is early civilization, right, really trying to get a foothold into some kind of logic or whatever. Little did they know. So there are parts of the Gita that are considered knots, or which are known as granthi, mm-hmm, something deep. And this is one of those something deep knots in the verses. It's on the surface deceptively simple, paradoxical, stating the obvious. So there's a story behind the Gita, right? We talked about this. Sage Vyasa, when he was writing down the Gita, turned to Lord Ganesh, the Lord with the elephant head,
yes,
person who has wisdom, and said, "I need you to be my scribe. You write down whatever I say." Mm-hmm. And he said, "I will." And he says, but Ganesh says, "There's one condition, that you will not stop talking. You will keep writing, you will keep speaking, and as long as you keep speaking, I will keep writing. Mm-hmm. But when you stop speaking, that's it. I put my pen away and I don't write anymore." And Vyasa said, "All right, if that's the condition, I have one condition too." And Ganesh says, "Fine, I will agree to it." And he says, Vyasa says, "My condition is, when I say something, before you write it down, you've got to understand it.
Oh.
If you don't understand it, then you shouldn't write it." So Ganesh said, "Okay." So this is just symbolic and mythological, basically to say that there are some verses here that are pretty challenging. And the reason they've been thrown in there is for the space to occur where Ganesh then writes it, that says, "I don't understand it." He gives it some thought and Vyasa says, "Phew, now I can take a breath."
In other words, don't just listen to this. Make sure that you delve into it and you have a grasp on it, that you understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Vyasa is basically saying to the scribe, but basically saying to all of us,
right,
that before you move on, try and understand each verse. And though, because you can't read it like you're reading a Tom Clancy novel. You know,
yeah,
you have to, some people do that. They say, "Oh, I read the Gita three times." But that's like a tape recorder that says, "I have the Gita on the tape recorder," but the tape recorder doesn't understand what the Gita is all about.
Right.
It just recites it. So this is the philosophy of existence. Sorry about these landscapers outside.
See, we have to endure this. This is what we learned in chapter 15.
This too shall pass.
This too shall pass, yeah.
As it happens, they're right outside the window. But this verse, "The unreal has no existence, the real never ceases to be," is the essence of the Gita, and it's the essence of isness. So it's a very deep philosophy. If you, in the Gita, as you read the Gita commentaries, there are some very superficial explanations of this verse. What is real is real. What is not real is not real. I mean, everybody can think that. But this is much deeper than that. And that's what this is going to be talking about. So, for example, let's go to a boiling of a potato.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever boiled a potato.
I'm Irish, doctor. I boiled a few potatoes.
So when you boil a potato and you take it out of the water, it is one of the hottest things you could get, right?
Yep.
And if you cut it and you, if you're feeding a child or a grandchild, you say, be careful, that thing is going to be very hot because it's a potato. Mm-hmm. But to boil it, you had to put it in water, and the water had to be in a pot, and the pot had to be over a fire. Now, is one of the qualities of a potato to be hot? No.
No.
A potato is not hot. So where did the heat come from? It came from the water as it got hotter, right? The potato got hot because the water got hot. Is the quality of a water to be hot? No. The water got hot when the pot got hot. But is the quality of the pot to be hot?
No.
No. It borrowed the heat from the fire. What borrowed the heat? The pot borrowed the heat, which then lent it to the water. The water got hot. The water borrowed the heat from the pot. And then the potato got hot. Now, will it change? Yes. When you take it off the fire, the pot will get cold again. The water will get cold, and the potato gets cold. So essentially, these things have changed. This is a very deep philosophy and needs to be understood very carefully. The potato got cold. First it got hot, then it got cold. So did the water, so did the pot. But the fire remained hot throughout. Mm-hmm. The minute it existed, let's say it's a gas stove in your home and you turned on the fire, fire came on. The minute it came on into existence, it was hot. And it remained hot throughout, and then you turned off the gas, no more fire, but next time you turn it on, fire has heat.
Right.
So what that essentially suggests is that there are certain things that have an inherent quality in them. So fire has heat, but there are other things that change. They just borrow qualities from something else, and as long as that something else is in them that is borrowed, they change their form into hot or cold or whatever. So the question then becomes, if you apply that to life itself and our existence, you, me, all of us, this is what in the previous verse we talked about, that a person lives, a person dies. The question is, think of existence. We exist. Can that come and go like the heat of the boiled potato of the water? Or is it permanent, like the heat of the fire? So can we be born and then become available and then die and we just keep coming and going? Then we're like a hot potato,
right?
So then that existence within us is not real. Am I making myself clear with that? So essentially, we are like the hot potato. So our existence can come and go. So the creation comes when we're born, and it goes when we die.
This goes back to what you talked about in the previous episode, where the king was wondering whether it was real, whether he was a beggar or a king, and the wise man told him, "You're neither. The truth is neither.
You're neither. You're the ultimate Atman." So here, there is also in the scriptures an analogy of an arrow flying through the night into an area where light is shining out of a window, and then the arrow flies through that area that is lit in the sky and then goes back into darkness. And it says that our life is essentially like that arrow. Hmm. You don't see it when it's in the dark. You see it when it's in the light, and it goes back again into the dark.
Right.
Doesn't mean that the arrow is not flying. You only see it during that time that it's in the light.
Right.
So we as the Atman come to being born, we are created, we live for a short while, then we are gone. So our existence is essentially borrowed, right? Because when we die, we're nothing. We get destroyed. If we're cremated, we're burned to ashes. If we're go into the ground, we become dust. So what are we? We just borrowed that, just like the potato that got hot when the fire was turned on, and then it got cold afterwards.
Right.
So where did we borrow it from? What Everything in the universe then is like us, is like the hot potato. Everything.
Yes.
Even the universe itself is just comes and goes. Even planets come and go. It comes into being and then it's lost. But suppose there is something that has an infinite property, just like the fire has the heat. And our existence is borrowed. So where do we borrow it from? We know, because we've been talking about this, that we borrow it from the Brahman.
Yes.
Brahman is forever. Brahman is always there. It has an intrinsic property of being existence. And we take it on, and as long as that Brahman is within us, that part is alive. But we are not. We are born. That's when we are created. We live, and then we're destroyed. So there are three kinds of entities that the Gita talks about. One is the intrinsic, which means that it is always. It always is. Brahman means Sat, S-A-T, Sat, or pure being. That's existence, consciousness, and bliss. That is Sat. It is pure being. It always is. Now, what is this isness? Isness, so if I'm looking at this computer right now, I say, this computer is.
Yes.
Right? I'm looking at Lou. If you were in front of me, I would say Lou is.
Yes.
This bottle is. So in that isness, I'm talking about this computer. There's a computer and my feeling that the computer is.
Right.
I'm looking at Lou. There's Lou and there's is. So there's two components to that. There's a Lou and there's a is.
Mm-hmm.
That isness of Lou is only being aware to me because of my isness. I am. I exist.
Right.
I therefore know of you. If you take all those components in the world, the computer, Lou, the bottle, elephant, horse, SUV, car, and you take them, all of them is or are. Those things are impermanent because mm-hmm. Lou is impermanent, unfortunately.
Thanks for pointing that out, but yes.
The computer is impermanent. The bottle is impermanent, the SUV is impermanent, the elephant is impermanent. The only thing that remains permanent is the awareness that there is something, that even after I go, even after the computer go, that awareness of the isness continues. So what the scriptures say is that there are three kind of entities. One, it's something that there always is, which is Brahman, and two, that is absolutely unreal, never is. It can never happen. For instance, the example given is a square circle. That's impossible.
Yes.
You cannot have a square circle. So, or another example is a man who gives birth by being pregnant to a child.
Right.
Not possible, impossible. So there is, which is the intrinsic, which is called Sat, and the absolutely unreal, which is called asat, asat. In between, there's a category that is borrowed existence, which is known as mithya. Mithya is a borrowed experience and existence, an appearance which is false. So sat always exists, which is Brahman. Mithya doesn't exist, but appears to exist, like I am right now, or you are.
Right.
Because it borrows its existence from the Sat, just like the potato borrowed its hotness
yes.
from the hot water as it was being boiled. To appear without existing, but appear as if they exist, they do not exist by themselves, but only borrow from the Sat.
Mm-hmm.
And Shankaracharya's explanation was, how do you borrow from existence? For example, pot, a clay pot. You look at a clay pot and it has a name, which is a clay pot.
Mm-hmm.
It has a form, it is round or it's colored, and it has a use. You use it for pouring water in it.
Right.
A name, form, and existence or use, and it is made of clay. But that pot would not exist if it were not for the underlying clay. If you don't have clay, you don't have the pot.
Right.
You break the pot and you have broken clay pieces over there, but it's still there. You see the broken clay pieces, right. But it still exists. But the pot doesn't exist, but the clay exists.
Right.
So we human beings essentially are part of this. We are existing because of the Brahman within us. Jewelry exists because of the underlying gold. We call it jewelry, but really it's gold.
Right.
You melt that jewelry down, it becomes gold. So the entire existence of the pot depends on the clay constituting it. Our entire existence depends on the Brahman constituting us. If the clay disappears, the pot disappears. Mm-hmm. If Brahman disappears, we disappear. So the question then becomes, what are we? For example, this chair that I'm sitting on is basically made of wood. If it were not for the wood, I wouldn't have the chair.
Right.
So if we got rid of the wood, got rid of the Brahman, got rid of everything, and there was nothing, then would we exist? Yes. In essence, it's like light coming from a source in a vacuum. You don't see it unless there's particles of dust and it shines, reflects off the dust.
Right.
If there is a TV wave in this air, right? Unless you have a reception of a TV station, a TV instrument, it's not going to pick up the TV waves. You don't know it's there. Similarly, if there's nothingness, in order for it to be visible, you have to have some receptors. If there's electricity, unless you have a bulb, you're not going to know that there's electricity over there. So there's a modification of the constituent material, and any modification, it borrows its existence from the material constituent. So the Brahman is being borrowed from in order for us to live.
Mm-hmm.
The effects keep changing. So it may look like Lou one time, it may look like me another time, it may look like Mr. Tom Brady another time. That effect keeps changing, or even some famous actor. But all of this, the existence without that constituent material will not exist, and they won't exist after the destruction. So names and forms are all appearances. What is intrinsically existing? What is the ground reality? Always Brahman behind all this. In every experience of good and bad, there are two components. The object, which is in Sanskrit known as Vishaya, and the experience of isness. So the clock is, the hand is, the book is, and the object keeps changing, they come and go, but everywhere you have the continuing change, unchanging experience of the isness. That's what we talked about.
Right.
So anytime that change occurs, that is a borrowed experience. So mm-hmm. borrowed experience, going back to our example of a potato or the water. Sorry, I'm being distracted by this noise of the landscapers.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So borrowed existence means there's something that you have taken from to become yourself.
Yes.
And when that, as long as that is there, we keep changing. Anything that is permanent does not change in the past, does not change in the present, does not change in the future. So I hope I have not confused you all too much. My apologies if I did. This is one of the weightiest philosophical verses in the Gita, but it sort of sets the stage for future verses. And I'm sure you have some questions, some confusion. There are scholars and scholars, galaxy of people who wait and debate this about consciousness and reality and existence. So we're just children in this whole thing. But at least by starting to learn about it, we can go on from here. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll get at least to first grade in this whole thing.
Yeah, listen, so take a couple run-throughs this particular episode. Leave some comments, leave some questions. You can find us, take it on a podcast, take it from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Take it on the road with you. Listen to it a couple times. You're going to have questions. Let us know, and we'll delve into this a little bit more.
Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Lou, thanks so much for your help.